verse 1 and verse 11. It basically reads, "And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil." Verse 11, "Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him." Amen. 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 This too shall pass. Amen. Want to put my thoughts around the theme, pass the test. Pass the test. Jesus had just been baptized, and as soon as he was baptized, he was indwelled by the Holy Spirit. For the scripture says that something like a dove descended on Jesus at his baptism. And the text then goes on to say that right after his baptism, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. Why would the Holy Spirit put you in a position of temptation? You know, it really don't take a whole lot anyway. The Holy Spirit don't have to do a whole lot to put some of us in a position of temptation. All he got to do sometimes really is just wake us up in the morning. Amen. You see, the word here for temptation, it can also mean to be tested. And a test can reveal who you really are, what you will really do to determine if your rhetoric is compatible with your actions. A test will determine if you're ready for the challenge, and it will evaluate how ready you really are. Amen, somebody. In fact, you don't know how ready you are until you've been tested. That's why it's interesting to listen to people talk about what they would do if they were in your shoes, but they're not. And until they walk a mile in your shoes, they don't really know what they will do. That's why it's good to come to church where people have been through some things, because if you have been through something, that's proof positive that whatever God did for you, God can also do for me. And a test will reveal who the church really is. The test will expose. It will reveal both your strength and your weaknesses. Amen. But that doesn't mean the tests are always pleasant to go through. They usually are very challenging. They're not usually fun, but they are necessary. In fact, everybody goes through a test from time to time, but you can't always choose your test. But I'm so glad that the Bible testifies that I have a God that won't just put you through a test, but he understands what you go through when you're going through a test. It's bad when someone tests you, but they don't understand the complexities of the test because they've never been through one themselves. But instead, they're still in charge. They don't know your struggle. They determine if you deserve health care, but they never had to worry about being covered themselves. They determine the educational models, but they never had to struggle through a school that wasn't designed for people like you. They pass policies that criminalize adolescent behavior, but never had to deal with the issues that come with poverty in a community without necessary resources to sustain even the mediocre quality of our lives. But I'm so glad that we have a high priest who the Bible says can sympathize with our weaknesses because he felt the same struggles we felt, yet he is without sin. That means he knows how to navigate me through those pitfalls of this life. And in the face of spiritual decay, moral devolution, hate had the nerve to raise its head, but this time without a cover to even hide its hideousness. Under the influence of the sinfulness of white supremacy, a cancer is spreading across this nation, carried by the marred and manipulated humanity under the banner of a white Jesus that propagates your submissiveness to an ideology that is not there for your liberation, but rather for your annihilation. But brothers and sisters, you can't always choose your test. Sometimes your test will choose you. And you and I are here for such a time as this. But in Matthew's telling of this story, it says the testing time didn't come right away. Not only do you not always get to choose your test, but we don't even get to choose when we're gonna be tested. Be ye also ready, for you know not the day. The testing time came after a 40-day and 40-night fast. And the Bible says that after 40 days and 40 nights of not eating, Jesus was hungry. And all of this, my brothers and sisters, occurred soon after Jesus was baptized. You see, when you take a stand for God, when you decide to live for Jesus, when you're motivated by the moving of the Holy Spirit, you would think that things would get better and the devil would just leave you alone. But on the contrary, he's just waiting in the wings for your weak moment to raise his ugly head and test you to see who you really are. And you can't always anticipate what the test may be, nor can you determine when it will arrive. But somebody said, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. But just because we are a little weak in some areas doesn't mean that we are defenseless. We look outnumbered. They think you don't know what to do. The enemy is prepared to be more vile and valiant than you could ever even muster up. But the Apostle Paul testifies to the fact that there is more than meets the eye. For Christ's sake, he declares, I delight in my weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am made strong. Do you know where your strength really comes from? Your strength really don't come from you, no way. It comes from who you put your faith in. Paul said, you think I'm weak, but I lean on somebody stronger than me. I lean on somebody stronger than you. Don't be deceived. My strength don't lie in myself. It lies in God, the creator of heaven and earth. And somebody told me he's been in many fights and he's never lost to one. It comes from the Lord. But it's always good to be prepared before you have to go through a test. The first thing you have to know for the test is who you are. The accuser came to Jesus at his weakest moment to try to redact history with alternative facts and different kinds of truth and raise a question about the authenticity of Jesus' birth certificate. Nothing but the devil. But the devil is a lie. Jesus said that he is the father of all lies. When he lies, he actually speaks his native tongue. That's why you don't listen to the devil, because even if he told part of a truth, it wasn't for your benefit, but it was really for your demise. That is the devil's nature, to steal, kill, and destroy. You don't play with the devil. You don't befriend the devil. You resist him that he may flee from you, but don't be surprised when he pops back up again, because the devil is persistent. He may even come back in some other type of form, because the Bible would testify that the devil can disguise himself as an angel of light. Don't be deceived. Don't play with. Don't entertain. Don't try to reason with some folk. Some people, some things, you just got to leave it alone, because it ain't there for your good. It's there for your destruction. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care how well it sounds. Some things you just got to abstain from. The devil questioned his ancestral lineage and challenged if he had any claim to his heavenly heritage, and placed him before a standard before him to authenticate who he said that he was. If you're really the Son of God, tell these stones to turn to bread. You are hungry, aren't you? But you have to be prepared before the testing time comes, so that you don't fall for the okey-doke. Because people will try to make you forget. They'll try to make you forget who you really are. And if you forget who you really are, then you can't claim what God really has in store for you. Don't let them fool you about who you really are. You're the head, you're not the tail. You're the beginning, and God is the end that encapsulates all of it. You are a child of God, made in the likeness of his image. You're not less of them. You're greater than, because you know the Lord, and the Lord knows you. You got to know who you are, and I don't care if you don't know who your biological mama and daddy is. If God got his hands on you, he's both mother and father. He can be sister and brother. He can be auntie and auntie. He's all that you need. Don't let people make you think you don't know who you are. They'll try to rewrite the history. They'll try to redact the history book. But you got a heritage and a lineage. The Lord hasn't brought us this far to leave us. I declare we're the apple of his eye. And you can see God shining through us because we're still here, no matter what people say or will do. And if you're still here, that only means that God got something for you to do. The question is, are you doing it, or have you forgot who you really were? But Jesus was prepared, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with God's word. And considering his grumbling stomach, he came to the conclusion that breaking bread with the devil is a bad decision, no matter how bad off you think you are. Dining with the devil will only lead to your destruction. Partnering with people that only bring you problems won't give you prosperity, for you know, no matter what your position may be, sometimes, brothers and sisters, you have to keep your integrity and leave the money on the table. Sometimes you have to be reminded of your character so that you don't do something that would only compromise you down the road. But you have to remember who you are, and you got to remember whose you are. And remember that every question doesn't even deserve a response, and every challenge doesn't even have to be entertained. Jesus said, man does not live but by bread alone, but by every word that falls out of the mouth of God. Go chew on that. But the devil took Jesus on up a little higher to Jerusalem, and he had him stand at the highest point of the temple and challenged Jesus and said, if you're really the Son of God, throw yourself down, and they will, and the God says he will command his angels concerning you and will lift you up in their hands so that you won't even strike your foot against a stone. If you really are the Son of Man, jump off the cliff and see if God won't protect you, because God can't do anything other than fail, caning. You have to be careful with allowing people who don't even believe in you or think you have the right to be here interpret scripture for you. Because that lens of interpretation, no matter how rosy they make it sound, is really for your destruction and their control. You can't listen to everybody tell you what the Bible says. I'm so glad that I'm Protestant, that I ain't got to go to nobody and ask them about God. I can go to God for myself. I'm so glad that I got the Bible on my internet, because even if I can't read, I can push a button and it'll read itself to me. I'm so glad that I don't have anybody to have to go between me and the Lord except Jesus Christ. And whatever I do in the name of Jesus, he said when he gets to God, he'll speak for me on my behalf. You ain't got to listen to somebody else tell you that you don't know how to worship the Lord, that you're doing it the wrong way. I knew the Lord when he came and tapped me and protected me from seen and unseen dangers. I don't care if you got a scientific proof that says my God's the wrong God. I got a personal relationship because he showed up in my life. He turned me around. He picked me up. He helped me when I couldn't help myself.
Stop letting folk that don't even think you belong on this earth tell you about the God you serve. You already know God because he's already blessed you and showed you who he was. Am I right about it? If I'm lying, I'm dying. You know the Lord. Hasn't he kept you? Hasn't he kept you when nothing else could? You need to start telling somebody else about the God you serve. You should have been dead a long time ago, but God. Cancer should have took you out, but God. You weren't even supposed to have that job, but God. And then you want to listen to the devil tell you what thus says the Lord. You better know it for yourself. How's the master of the slave house gonna tell you who God is? And he ain't never had to eat off the ground. He ain't never had to try to keep himself warm and didn't have any clothes. You know the Lord showed up in your life, made your ends meet, and you didn't have nothing to put them together. You a walking testimony, a walking pillar of what God would do. You need to just get up and stand up and say it. And you may not say it as clean as somebody else, but just show up anyway. Let them look at you and see what the redeemed of the Lord has to say. The word of God is for your liberation, not for your degradation. And all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Jesus understood that God may test you, but don't think you're so smart that you can turn around and test God. And Jesus said, don't put the Lord, your God, to the test. And David would have said, and thank God that David ain't in this text, fool. Because too many of us try to test the Lord and it's foolish. If you really love me, Lord, then do X, Y, and Z. He woke you up this morning. He tolerated all of your, for if he really loves you, don't test the Lord. Because when you do, it won't be God who is tripped up, but you may fall in a ditch and you can't get out of what you may fall in a ditch that you can't get out of, and then who are you going to turn to? The very one you was trying to trick, the very one you was trying to get through a loophole. You know how you try to get through those religious loopholes. You start reading the Bible, you start studying the Bible, you start listening to other people preach, trying to find a loophole to do your will instead of God's will, and then turn around and say, and God got to keep his word. Well, if you broke the contract, God ain't got to keep a thing. But you can try him at his word. And the Bible says that his word won't come back void. He can bless you, but he can also correct you. The devil took Jesus to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and its splendor. He had the penthouse view. Satan had a proposition for Jesus and told him, if he would just bow down and worship me, I will give you all of this. Be careful with dealing with people who try to buy your loyalty. You think you're getting over, but before you know it, what they did was turn you into a sellout. You can't stand up when it's time to stand up because you just sold out. You can't speak up when it's time to let your voice be heard because you just sold out. You can't take action, and since you can't take action, you don't want nobody else taking action because it's going to expose you because you've sold out. You can't even worship God the way you need to when you sell out, because those that worship the Lord, you got to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord God and serve him only. if you're worshiping God, if you're serving Him only, then you can keep your eye focused on the Lord. Somebody said to me this morning, stay focused. Don't get distracted. Stay focused. Don't get distracted. You know, worshiping the Lord has a way of getting you focused. Because when you worship the Lord, you start forgetting all the stuff that got you down. And you start thinking about the one that can pick you up. When you start worshiping the Lord, you know that God can do anything, because when you start worshiping the Lord, it kind of gets contagious, and whatever jumped on somebody has the ability to jump on you. And if God helped them, maybe God can help you too.
There's a story. Scripture goes on to say that after Jesus' testing time, that the devil left him for a time. If you can just hold on just a little while longer, if you can just do the next right thing just a little while longer, if you could just hold to your principles just a little while longer, the Lord will release some of the pressure. But don't be surprised when the devil comes back again, because the devil is always on his job. There's a story about four people. One named everybody, another named somebody, the third was anybody, and the last was nobody. And there was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. And anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. And somebody got angry about that, because it was everybody's job, and everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. And it ended up that everybody blamed somebody, and nobody did what anybody could do. You are somebody. And God wants you to reach everybody so that you don't let anybody tell you that you're nobody. Remember who you are. You're a child of God, and you're wonderfully and fearfully made. You are the apple of His eye. Don't let anybody tell you that you are nobody, because He got something for everybody to do. God has His hands on you, and if the Lord has His hands on you, can't nobody stand up against you. You just got to remember who you are and who you belong to. And when you remember who you are, you remember when you was a little younger and you was acting up out in the community, and somebody who knew your mama and your daddy, your auntie and your uncle, somebody knew your grandparents, will walk over to you and say, you know you wasn't raised like that. And if you try to get smart, they'll say, I know your mama, I know your daddy. And you'll start straightening back up, because even if they don't deal with you, they know somebody who can. When you remember who you are, you don't have to worry about getting off track, because somebody will remind you that's not how the Lord shaped you. That's not how the Lord formed you. You can do anything that God has put you to the task to do. You just got to pass the test. Hold on a little while longer. Stand up when it's time to be heard. Sit down when it's time to be peaceful. But you got to know what time it is. And when the door knocks, when the clock strikes, you got to be prepared to do what God has made you to do. And if we stand for Christ, who can stand against us? But if you never stand, you won't find out what the Lord would do. We offer an invitation to you today that you receive this Jesus Christ in your life. For this Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world. He's for your liberation, not for your annihilation. He's there to set you free and release the captives. He's there for you, but you have to do it the Lord's way.
Bible says if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Just like the devil said, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these things. You got to align your life to the will of the Lord. And he may not give you all the splendor of the world, but he'll give you peace that goes beyond all understanding. He'll fight your battles for you and give you some peace while he's working it out on your behalf. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. But brothers and sisters, salvation isn't just for your soul. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, they crucified his body. They laid his body in a tomb. But when he got up out of the grave, it wasn't just his spirit, his body got up. The tomb was empty. It's not just about saving your soul. But what does a saved community look like? The Lord cares about every facet of your life. What does a saved family look like? What does a saved financial account look like? The Lord don't want to just save part of you. He wants to save all of you. If you only trust him with your whole life, the doors of the church are open. That Jesus is calling to you today. This is your invitation. Let us stand as the choir or the soloist leads us in this song. The Lord is calling you. How will you respond?
Faithfulness.
The Lord is calling you today.
Oh, amen. God.
Is there another? He's calling you today.
My Father.
How will you respond? There's time.
There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion, they fail not.
This is your invitation.
As thou hast been, thy great is thy faithfulness, and morning by morning a new mercy I see. In manifold witness, and great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Then sings my How great thou art, then sings my